You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a master class in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am reading from Innovations in Play Therapy, Issues, Process, and Special Populations, edited by Gary Landreth. And we're going to dive into effective personality characteristics of play therapists. And we are in the summer school series, and I'm reading from seminal works. So if you are just joining us, welcome. So glad you found us. And please go back and listen from the beginning. That's really important because the episodes build on each other. So if you happen to be listening to this, glad you're here, and then go back and start at episode one. For those of you that have been with me for a long time, glad you're hanging out. This is a really interesting section of this book. And Landreth actually goes through Axline's principles. And so we're going to tackle each one of these one at a time. And the power of recognizing our own personality and what we bring to the play therapy process is so important. So again, I'm reading from Innovations in Play Therapy, Issues, Process, and Special Populations, edited by Landreth. Okay, so we're in chapter two. And essentially, this is looking at Axline's qualities of the play therapist. She posited that the play therapist has eight basic principles that guide all interactions with children. And then now we're looking at these in light of being a personality characteristic or trait that the play therapist must possess. So let me read some different sections a little bit, and then I'll move into the first of those eight. So reading on page 23, the play therapist sets the climate in the playroom by his or her manner, attitudes, and beliefs about the child, about self, and about the nature of life and living. The most significant resource the therapist brings to the relationship is the dimension of self. The therapist is more important than anything the therapist knows how to do. Wow, let me say that again. The therapist is more important than anything the therapist knows how to do. The pressure's off, y'all. We don't have to be perfect and have every skill that we could possibly possess for this to work. So we set the climate by our manner, attitudes, and beliefs about the child, about ourselves, and about the nature of life and living, just our perspective on the world, right? But the most significant resource that we bring is the dimension of ourselves, because the therapist is more important than anything the therapist knows how to do. Therefore, the personality characteristics and interpersonal skills of the play therapist are critical. All right, so let that marinate. So I'll read further. According to Axline, and this was from her 1969 work, by the way, the personality qualities of the play therapist may be summarized by saying that the therapist must be a person who, quote, can and will accept the word and the spirit, end quote, of eight basic principles that guide all contacts with children. So she's looking at these eight foundational tenets and beliefs, and then we're now going to look at these as far as characteristics one at a time. So today we're going to talk through the first principle, which is the therapist is genuinely interested in the child and develops a warm and caring relationship. So we are to be genuinely interested in the child, which I would argue that's the B with attitudes, right? Pop quiz. What are the B with attitudes? Y'all better know this by now, especially if you've been around the block a while. I'm here. I hear you. I understand. I care. And I delight in you. So we have this interest in the child, but then we develop a warm and caring relationship. And I know we've talked about that ad nauseum. The relationship is the most critical piece of what we do. So we're interested and we build a relationship. So let me read a little bit more on page 24. The play therapist should be emotionally mature, stable, and skilled. Wow. I know we talk a lot about the children with whom we work and where they are emotionally and how stable they are and what their maturity levels are and all of that. But to quote again, the play therapist should be emotionally mature, stable, and skilled. It's really hard to be a therapist, number one. It's really hard to be a play therapist, number two. And it's even harder to be a child-centered play therapist if you're emotionally immature, unstable, and you lack skills. It's really, really hard to do this job if those are how people would describe you. Which is why it's so important to make sure that we're doing our own work. So I'm going to skip down a little bit and I'll read again. Quote, the ability to warmly accept a child is predicated on the therapist's ability to accept and understand him or herself. See how it's a two-way street there? We can't warmly accept a child if we can't warmly accept ourselves. Let's go back to rules of thumb from CPRT. We can't give away that which we don't possess. There's a very symbiotic relationship, and we have to work on ourselves in order to work with children. Okay, let me keep going in the book. The effective play therapist, therefore, is engaged in a continuing process of self-discovery. Know thyself, right? Whichever philosopher said that ages ago. We have to do our own work. Let me continue. The therapist possesses insight into his or her own motivations and is able to accept personal limitations without feeling threatened. The only way that that works is if we're doing our own work. We're working through our own stuff. We are ensuring that we are emotionally mature, that we are stable. I know you're working on being skilled or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Are you engaging in a continual process of self-discovery? Are you working to understand and accept yourself before you can understand and accept children in a child-centered playroom? And are you working to gain insight about your own motivations? And are you able to accept your own limitations without feeling threatened? When a parent yells at you, when you have a resistant caregiver, when a child says they hate you, when a child tells their mom and dad they never want to come to play therapy again, when a pediatrician says that they'd rather prescribe medication and diagnose than recommend play therapy, is that a threat to you? Do you take that personally? Does that hurt your feelings? Do you feel wounded? Do you feel that somehow you should have or could have done something better or different? If so, a lot of self-work needs to be taking place. A lot of self-discovery needs to be taking place. Let me continue. Being there, and that's in quotes, being there, meaning with the child, requires far more than the therapist's physical presence alone, and it is what sets the play therapist apart from other adults in the child's world. So when we talk about how hard play therapy is, and child-centered play therapy specifically, how hard it is for us, how hard it is for the child, how hard it is as a process, that's a big piece of the difficulty. Being there, it's an essential element to effective therapy. Being there, actively interacting with the child. And yes, of course, it's listening to what the child is saying and it's paying attention to what the child is doing through activity, but it's so much more than that because it's being aware of and being congruent with what is being experienced internally for the child. It's not just what is said and done, it's what is happening internally as well, which is why being there requires far more than the therapist's physical presence alone. And this is what sets us apart. No other adult puts themselves in that position. So therefore, much is required of us, personally. If we're going to try to put ourselves in a position to, quote, be there for a child, we have to make sure that we've done our own work. We have to make sure that we understand ourselves to the best of our abilities. We have to make sure that we have insight and perspective and awareness, and that we've discovered things about ourselves. I think that the healing takes place in a playroom for the child. And I think that it spills over into our own healing as well. And I've alluded to that a few times, and I've had conversations with my coaching participants as they were wrapping up the program. We've talked about it on the collective a little bit as well, but there are way too many stories of therapists that have said, I've been able to heal from fill in the blank. I've worked on my own stuff with fill in the blank now that I'm wholly child-centered. There's something to be said for that. And so first principle from Axline out of Landreth's book, the therapist is genuinely interested in the child and develops a warm and caring relationship. But here's the thing, we can't do that if we don't understand ourselves and work on ourselves and prioritize making sure that we are at a place emotionally and mentally and psychologically to do this work with kids. So I hope that that encourages you. I hope that you find that helpful. We're going to go through all of these principles. So this was the first principle. There are seven more. So we will be diving into those as the summer school series continue. And this has really been exciting. The feedback has been really positive. I'm really excited that you all are enjoying these seminal works and really diving deep into the origins of child-centered and recognizing that we really need to be aware of the classical publications so that we're on track with what we're supposed to be doing from a child-centered perspective. So thanks for hanging out in summer school with me. I didn't think I would say that ever, but this has been a fun summer school. So if you would like to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. And I will see you again soon. Love y'all. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.